always enjoy hearing them sing. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and turn to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. We'll begin reading verse 1. You'll notice this particular psalm isn't titled. It doesn't have an author by it. And there's some speculation as to who's the author of it. I'm going to preach tonight that it's Hezekiah, which it seems to come from him. It could also have been written by David, but tonight we'll come from that standpoint. Look with me, verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much tonight for all that You've blessed us with in 2009. And Lord, we're so looking forward to the rest of this year. What a blessing it has been to serve and be a part of this ministry. We pray tonight as we look into Your Word, and as we see here the theme that we and the direction for our church this year, pray, Lord, that You would just lay it upon each of our hearts to continue to look to You in the upcoming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have King Hezekiah writing a psalm, and here he is writing a psalm out of distress. The northern kingdom had already been carried into captivity by the Assyrian army, and now was at the doorstep of the southern kingdom. And we, if you've read much in the Old Testament, and I've taught you a lot, especially on Wednesday nights, that Hezekiah kind of started off as a bad king and then got right with God and began to make reforms and began to tore down the altars. I'm talking about Baal and the idol worshiping going on, and began to make reforms and was trying to do things right. But the reforms wasn't bringing about genuine revival. The same thing was happening during the time of Josiah as well. There was a great, even amongst his own political, cohorts and people that he hung out with, there was political unrest underneath all the things that he was doing. In other words, his counterparts weren't supporting him. They might to his face, but in the background they were hampering the reforms that he wanted to do religiously and spiritually. And so there was great reform taking place, but not genuine revival. They had a lot of meetings, but not revival. He didn't have the political backing that he needed to really break the idolatry that was going on in the southern kingdom. And so this, again, we see parallels our day. We see today the enemy at our doorstep. By that I mean the devil. I mean, he is really more so than ever in my lifetime, playing a vital role in every area of our lives, in the political system, every system, economic system, education system, the morality of America, all these things. We see the enemy at the doorstep. We see hopelessness, if you would, and despair at a peak among not only lost people today, but also believers. I believe you would agree with me. The church, and I'm talking about the churches, as a whole or as a group, there's a lot of window dressing going on in churches today, but not a lot of repentance. It's just not happening, folks. It's not. A lot of people getting dressed up or dressing down to go to church, and they go to a little meeting, and they go to their meetings, but there's nothing really happened spiritually there. They attend meetings that are more as a pep rally to pump them up so they can make it to the next service. rather than truly developing and having a personal relationship with God. And I know not all churches are that way, and I don't believe ours is that way, but the majority are. Amen. And it's depressing to even think about it. We have churches today that are more window dressing than they are really churches as such. There's a lot of hype going on, but not a lot of hope. A lot of hype. Man, hype them up, but not a lot of hope. Expressed from the pulpit, lived by the people. And I've always wondered the question, or I always had the question, if a lot of these mega churches are growing and doing so good, why is it not making an impact on our society? It's not. It's not. You know, I know Dallas over there has several, even good churches as such, mega churches. What impact are they having on morality in Dallas? What impact, when you have a lesbian sheriff, you know, elected, what impact are those churches really having? Amen? I'm talking about morality. Why is it there being an impact? Because they're being taught in those churches that it doesn't matter how you live. You come to church, say your prayers at church, walk out the back door, and live like the devil. That's what they... honestly. And that's what... We don't have time tonight to go into what the grace movement is and all the things going on in our society today and in the religious spectrum. But listen today. There is despair today. There's hopelessness today. And our churches as a whole are more window dressing than they are true, genuine preaching and repentance going on. I believe we are living in the Laodicean age. I believe without a doubt we are. And it's a day in which churches, most churches are lukewarm at best. And most churches are rich in finances and those type of things, but very poor spiritually. And God says He hates that. He wants to spew them out of His mouth. Amen? And we need to be very careful that doesn't happen here. Amen. We need to continue to fight against this. But there's a lot of this going on today. And here's one area we need to be careful about. There's a lot of churches very busy today. A lot of programs going on, but no power. You can get really busy, and you can have all sorts of programs, and we got them around here. And you can get busy. You can get Martha-ized. Martha-ized. That's a new word I came up with. You can get busy about much business like Martha did, and forget about worshiping Jesus at His feet like Mary did. We need to be careful in this area. We have so many ministries starting and getting involved, and these are important. I believe all of our ministries are pointed towards Jesus and are about winning people to the Lord and discipling our children as well as our adults and all these areas. But we need to be careful about becoming so busy that we forget that we need the power of God in our church. We need the power of God upon our lives. And again, we see this lot of churches today, very busy, but very little power going on. Hezekiah saw this, again, the parallel here. Hezekiah was concerned about his nation. He was concerned about the Assyrian army who was descending down upon his nation. And he asked some questions of himself. You say, what does that mean? He talked to himself. Right? He said this, Hezekiah, why are you sad? Why are you sad? Look at verse 5. That's where we're going to be. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you sad? Well, he's sad because the Assyrian army is about to take over his nation. I mean, his father Ahaz had already compromised and had given most of the treasury to the king of Assyria. And now Hezekiah comes on the scene. He begins to make reforms. He begins to make changes in not only the political system, but also the spiritual system. And he tries to transform and reform the nation of Israel back to God where it belonged. And he basically says to his political system, compromising with the Assyrians will not work. Because in order for us to compromise with them, we have to give up Jehovah God. Because they're going to come down and say, you'll worship this way, you'll worship these idols, you'll do this, and you'll give up your superstition and your Jewish worship. Right? His father said, well, I'll give him goods, I'll give him riches, I'll give him these things, and we'll have political talks, because talking works with people who are murderous scums of the earth. If you remember on Wednesday nights, I told you what the Assyrians were like. The Assyrians were murderous scums of the earth. They would come in, if you did not bow to them, if you did not surrender to them, they would come in, they would take women, children, dash them up against walls, burst them into pieces. They took their men and put them on poles, shish kebabbed them. I mean, they were terrible, terrible people. In fact, they did all those things, and I told you on Wednesday night, they weren't like the Romans. They wouldn't come in and set up, you know, little forts or whatever, little places in every city to keep peace. That's not how they kept peace. They kept peace through fear. If you disobey, if you go against the government, we'll come in, we'll kill every man, woman, and child. We won't just kill you, we'll torture you. They filleted people. I mean, they did things that were so atrocious, but people were scared of them. And so Ahaz compromised with them. And he tried political talks with them. You can't talk to people like that. You can't politically talk to somebody who's willing to blow himself up for their God. You can't talk to people like that. You can't. You can't sit down with somebody who believes that they blow themselves up, they'll receive so many virgins and this and that and that. You can't talk to people like that. I believe you need to speak softly and carry a big stick. I think there was a president who used to be that way, right? Amen. Hezekiah, his father Ahaz, compromised. And because of his compromise, the Assyrian army was right at the doorstep. And Hezekiah said, we won't compromise. We won't give in. And man, what great, great things God did for Hezekiah. I mean, he killed 180,000 of the Assyrian army in one night. God killed them. God did some great things for Hezekiah because he did these great things, because he did reform. But here, Hezekiah is asking, why am I sad? Why am I cast down? Why can't I stop, you know, why can't I stop being sad? And basically what he's saying is, I can't stop the Assyrians. And I'm sad about that. My soul is cast down. We can't stop the onslaught of the radical Muslims. And I don't even like to call them radical Muslim, but the Quran says specifically, if you are not a Muslim, then you are to die. You know, I'm just telling you, Hezekiah was saying, I can't stop it. I can't stop these things. Why are you down the dumps tonight? Why are you down the dumps? Is it maybe a wayward child that you're dealing with? Maybe finances are your problem? Maybe work a problem? Maybe unsaved loved ones? I know several of you have shared with me that you got friends and family that are unsaved, and you've got a great burden about them, which is a great burden. Maybe it is about politics or whatever it may be. Why are you cast down? Why are you sad? Secondly, we see here, Hezekiah says, why am I safe? He says there, verse 5, it says, why are cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Why am I safe? Because I hope in God. And that's our theme for the new year. Adam, if you go ahead and change it over, this will be our theme for the new year. I think for me, more than any of you, this is the theme that I need. Is that okay? And I figure if it's the theme I need, it's the theme you need. Amen? I told you here in the last few months, I feel myself sometimes just listening to the news and doing things and working with people, and sometimes I get just discouraged. I'm like, man, will this stuff never end? You know, and listen, we can't stop it. We can't. Our hope is in God. And Hezekiah understood, and it was thankfully, Hezekiah understood that alliances with Egypt or alliances with Babylon, who were enemies of the Assyrians as well, would not get it done. And his hope and trust was in God. Hope is not found in your friends. Hope is not found in man. Hope is not found in women. Hope is not found in politics. Hope is not found in the president or any politician. Hope is not found in your preacher. Hope is not found in your deacons. Hope is not found in your Sunday school teacher. Hope is not found in your mom or your daddy. Hope is found in God. Hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, He will never let you down. He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Even the distresses you go through. And I wish this morning, I always look back after I preach a message and say, man, I didn't stress that enough. Do you realize this morning that every time every time that there was distress in Jacob's life, that God came to him? Think about it. I know some of you may were in children's church this morning, but every time when Jacob was down at the bottom, the Lord came to him. I'm glad he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never leaves us alone. He loves us. He cares for us, concerned about us. Our hope is not in the here and now, but in the future. Hope is not in finances. Hope is in the future. The Lord's soon return. I wish it was today. Amen. Why am I sure? How can I be sure? Look there with me, the rest of the verse he says, "For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And this is the one reason why I believe Hezekiah probably wrote this, is that little phrase, "the health of my countenance." You remember Hezekiah was going to die. And, I mean, he was on the death's door and he begged God to save him. And God saved him. God healed him. Listen tonight. Why am I sure that God is my hope? Because of the things He's done for me in the past. I know I preached that in one sermon this year, but you should be able to look back in your life and see where God has intervened in your life, where God has done some great things in your life, and that should give you hope for the future. Hezekiah was saying, listen, God healed me here. Surely God will take care of me here. And God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He hasn't changed. If He did it then, He can do it again. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so Hezekiah said, I'll just praise Him. I'll praise Him because I know what He's done for me in the past, and I know He's going to do it for me in the future. And Hezekiah begins to praise and sing Him. Amen? Listen, don't allow distress, don't allow hopelessness and despair to rob you of your joy. Don't allow hopelessness to rob you of the song, that new song that's been given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And lift it up and praise Him in spite of what's going on around you. Don't put your hope and trust in some preacher who may fall or some Sunday school teacher or a politician or whatever, but put your hope in God. Put your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth, all that despair and problems, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus in 2010. Let's put our hope in Him. Our hope is in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I put my hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my hope. He's our hope. And this year we'll emphasize the hope that we have in God. And I ought to have an invitation right here and go on with it. But I want to again express to you tonight our theme again, hope in God. I would like for if our brother, if we come and get the calendars, we'll pass them out. I need one as well. We'll pass the calendars out. We want to encourage you to take these calendars and put them in a spot where you will look at them often. I encourage you, if you stick stuff on your refrigerator, I know that on HGTV, you can't put stuff on your refrigerator anymore. It's not classy. All right, we still put stuff on our refrigerator at our house. And so I go to the refrigerator more than any other place in the house. It's a great place. Can you hand me one, Brother Jerry? Or somebody? And so it would be a good place to put it. You're welcome. Now listen, once they pass out one of these, we'll put them in the back. You're welcome to take as many as you need if you want one for your office or wherever. Can they, at one point we had it where they could download the calendar. They can still do that, can't they? Yeah, Adam said he'd make it happen. But, you know, you can go on the internet, you can look at the calendar and these type of things. Just want to keep you informed of what's going on in the new year. And so if you would like to, after tonight, you could take, we have, I think, we printed up like 500 of these, 525 to be precise. And so there's plenty. I encourage you to take several, okay? And we also put these in our visitors' packets. Again, encourage people. I appreciate our staff. We put all this together, and we did our own layouts again this year. We didn't have to pay somebody to do all this. Well, we paid the staff, but no. But a lot of volunteers as well, like Adam and other volunteers here in the church who are not paid, who helped put the logos and things together for the new year. I appreciate these men and ladies very, very much. And it's nice because there was years there where we had to pay to do everything. And it's nice to be able to do it all volunteer and through our staff. Miss Morrow, Claudia Morrow, still does all our printing through Summit Press, and that's a blessing, and so forth. All right. So I just encourage you. I'm going to look at about four important dates with you. Encourage you to put them on your calendar at the house. One of those important dates is this month. That's the Stewardship Conference, January the 17th and the 20th. Encourage you to put that on your calendar and make sure that you're able to attend. In February, probably the most important date there is the marriage conference of Brother Rigsby. Brother Rigsby is fantastic. You'll enjoy him. He's very much a Yankee, but we don't hold it against him. But he's very good. He's very much an educator. Was administrator of the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary for many, many years. Godly man. Not necessarily a preacher. He says he's not a preacher. But I'm telling you, he's fantastic. He's gone through a few things. He's had some things with his kids. And he's been there, done a lot of the things, and been through some heartaches. And he certainly is great on the family. And I appreciate him. He'll be coming on that day. Financial seminar on the 20th. We do want to get back to having a financial seminar. That'll be like on a Sunday afternoon. I've got somebody in mind. I probably won't head that up this year. I've asked somebody else to do that. I believe they've agreed to do that. And is he okay with it? Harry Shepherd will actually head up that financial seminar. And Harry's been a great example in finances. I've enjoyed talking to him and back and forth about his own finances and how God's blessed him. And anybody who can have his wife quit a job and stay at home with a baby, and who had a good salary, and still, you know, I don't want to use the word survive, but thrive, really. And it's been a blessing to see his life and the way God's blessed him. And so, and he's really into this type of stuff, and I like that. Some of y'all have heard me before. The same voice sometimes falls on deaf ears. And so I think if you heard a different voice, it might be a blessing. So I've asked Harry to do that. So that'll be like a Sunday afternoon. It'll be just for a couple of hours. It won't be a long type seminar. And Brother Harry will head that up. That'll be February, March. Brother Stewart will be with us for their Bible conference, the 7th through the 10th. Encourage you to write that down in your calendar. It will be a prophecy conference this year. And a lot of you always asking about revelation and prophecy and all this. So our theme this year is hope in God. We're going to talk about Christ's return. And you'll enjoy Brother Stewart. I don't care what he teaches on; he's always good. So, and his conferences are always our best attendance conferences. He's fantastic. You'll enjoy him. Friend Day in April. Look down through there. May, of course, is kind of the end of the school. June, we have the men's camp out. A focus on Mission Sunday there with Brother Jeff Alverson. This is somebody that Brother Stone knows, a good preacher. We'll look forward to him that day. We've got a couple of missionaries coming that day. Let's see. July will be youth camp. We've changed youth camps this year. We're going back to Silver State. Another trip to Colorado. That'll be the last full week there in July. We have Vacation Bible School the week before that. There's nothing going on. You'll notice in July, I did write down junior camp at Texoma the 5th through the 8th. I need some feedback from some of your parents who have juniors, like, you know, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th graders, if they'd be interested in going to a camp. You know, Texoma's just an hour and a half from here. Might be interesting to see how many of you would be interested in sending your kids. So I haven't done junior camp in about 14 years, but certainly willing to do so if some of your parents are interested. And we'll look forward to that. August, of course, we always have our big day there with Beat the Heat Sunday. September, October is our four special days. Mainly there, remember the missions conference with Brother J.D. Guido. And he is the weeping prophet. He is an amazing preacher, I promise you. Some of you who've been around a while, Brother Day, some of you who've been around a while will remember Brother J.D. Guido. Started a church in El Dorado, Arkansas, redheaded. Just fantastic preacher. And so we look forward to him coming. I skipped over the revival meeting, which was in August. So you might keep that in mind. Summer revival, August the 6th through the 8th. That's with Brother Bob Smith, who is the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. Bob Smith was one of my professors in school. That church runs about 1,500 people over in Arlington. Solid, independent, fundamental Baptist church. He is a fantastic preacher. I say that about all our preachers, but he is fantastic. You'll enjoy him. So we look forward to Brother Smith being here. Again, October is probably our most busiest month of the year, and I'm already looking forward to October again. Wish it was this month, don't y'all? Some of you who work in it. It is. It's our best outreach every year. And so we'll look forward to that. And then, of course, November, Heritage Day, and December. This year, we are marking it down. Brother Tim, Miss Linda, Miss Roberta, we are going to do a Christmas musical this year. If I have to come sing in the choir again or whatever we need to do. I'm just kidding. But we really, I believe that could be a very, we know it can be a very good outreach and to get visitors and people here, but also a blessing mainly to our congregation. We have some, God's blessed us with some good singers. And so I just want to encourage you to be faithful to those meetings. Four meetings. Stewardship conference, Bible conference, revival, and missions conference. We have those every year. I encourage you, write them down in your calendar. Plan your calendar around ours. Amen. Notice I said ours. This calendar is your calendar too. So plan around it. Do your very best. If you're going to be gone on one of those four special meetings, we need you to fill out a form. I'm just kidding. Just really encourage you to be a part of those things. All right? Amen? And they're always a blessing. All those preachers are going to really be a blessing to you. All right. Again, the theme, hope in God, keeping our eyes on Jesus will be kind of the direction we're going. In the area of ministries, now we're going to talk about direction. What direction are we going this year? In the area of ministries, just putting a greater emphasis upon keeping our eyes on the Lord and hoping in Him through prayer, through praise, and through daily walk. Some of the things we already emphasized, but some of the things we haven't followed through with this year. For instance, and a lot of it's my area, my fault, one of those is the prayer chain. And Miss Obenauer has already agreed to head that up. And so we really need to get on that. It's my fault, not hers. I'm the one that hadn't got the information to her and got that reestablished. It's a ministry we used to have that we need to reestablish. And so we'll be looking at that hopefully soon and getting that put together. Our prayer meetings. You know, this is an area that I, again, have let slip. You know, I allow other meetings to get in the way sometimes, and I don't show up to the prayer meeting. I meet with this family or that family, and sometimes it's justifiable. I need to be in those, need to meet with people. I led one to the Lord, you know, during one of those, you know. So there's times I need to, can't be there, but it's not justified. The preacher needs to be there. We all need to be in prayer meeting. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Prayer meetings are the spiritual temper of the church. Hello. They are. You want to see the spiritual temple of the church, come to prayer meeting. You want to see the spiritual temple of the church, go to soul winning. I believe that's the way I was taught. I believe the Bible teaches that. Those are two of the hardest areas in every church. And I just encourage you to be out for prayer meetings. We are being blessed this year with getting the upstairs finished here in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to start some new Sunday school classes. We're going to start a new adult class. And Brother Henderson will be the teacher. And we'll call it for 60 and up. But I want to just assure you that we don't check your license at the door to see how old you are. If you're happy in the class you're at, stay in the class you're at. You know, if you want to try out another class, go try another class. Just because we have the age groups does not mean you can't attend whatever class you want. Okay, we're not that stickler about that. I would encourage you though that if you stay within your age group, you would have a better chance. And a greater opportunity to associate and fellowship with people of your age. And that does make a difference sometimes. So just encourage you in that manner. We look forward to that class. And so Brother Harry Shepherd will be upstairs in the new room for the True North class. Brother Henderson will be down here in this room. And Brother Clark will stay out here in this room. So we have three adult classes as well as our two singles adult classes. So we have five adult classes. Okay? That'd be, amen? That's always good. By the way, you multiply by increasing your base. In other words, if we're going to multiply in the Sunday school, which the Sunday school is the way a church grows. The church grows through the Sunday school. If Sunday school is going to grow, then we have to split classes. And don't get mad when I do it. Help me. Love on me. Say, preacher, I know it's a hard decision when you say, we got to do this. And I don't like to do those things. And I get flack, and I understand. But I do know, and I not only have I prayed about it, but I've sought advice from men like Brother Henderson and others. And we know how Sunday school works. And it works best when you, again, you multiply by dividing. You divide up classes, stay within the 10 groups. By the way, care group leaders, you are as important as any teacher. Let me encourage you, if you're a care group leader, get more involved this next year. You're supposed to be doing everything that a teacher does except not teaching. Visiting and following up, and you are the teacher, if you would, of your group. Let me encourage you, you're the minister of your group. Can I say it that way? You know, pastor your group. If they're in the hospital, go see them, you know, and all those things. I'll get to preaching, but missions in the area of missions, just to encourage you that we have seen an increase in our missions giving, probably around $1,000 a month more than we were. After the missions conference, we saw the increase, and so that would. But we were also about even with money coming out, money coming in, money going out. So that's going to help us start build a little bit of cushion like we used to have. And so I encourage in the area of missions, continue to give, and we are planning on taking on 6 new missionaries. Now you take that, we support them at $60 a month to see that amount of money, as well as 6 more of our missionaries we already support will be coming in. We raise them $25 a month, so we'll be taking on some more obligation this year as well. And so, amen? Amen. Going forward, missions is the heart of the church. And I appreciate Harry Shepherd this year getting involved, becoming more or less our missions director and helping put our missions together. And I appreciate him very, very, very much. In the area of finances, we continue again to try to educate and not badger. By that I mean we try not to beat you over the head with stuff. And though I probably mentioned the upstairs more than I should, but we try not to just, you know, our job is not to get every penny out of you we can. It's not my job. You know, it's whatever the Lord wants for you. My job is to educate you. This is what's going on. These are the finances we have. Here's the finances we need. And whether it's the upstairs or our paying principal or whatever we're doing, it's just to inform you. And then my job is, again, to encourage you to give. And I certainly will do that as your pastor. But by educating, not hopefully not badgering. Again, our church has always responded when the need was shown. And if you haven't noticed this morning, we have a need. And we do have a room issue. And we're praying, as you got in your letter, we're going to pack them in 2010. Amen? Just keep packing them in. I again encourage you this morning. We had 2 families come in late. They both had to look for seats. There was very little seats in the back. I want to encourage you again to sit up as close as you can to the front, and on Sunday mornings especially, okay? And help us with that. And sit close together. Act like you love each other. Right? Amen? Especially with your spouse. You just cuddle up, you know. All right. I will dwell more on this during our stewardship conference. But the financial goal that I have in mind, and I've expressed this with some of the men, the finance team, and we'll go over it during our finance team meeting this next week. But our goal this year would be, again, to pay the principal down as much as possible on our loan. We owe about $1,050,000 on this building. By the way, man, you understand this building and this land is worth way, way more than that. I think the last appraisal was $2.6 million. It's worth more than that now. That appraisal was done probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I know that and I've said this before, the shopping center across the street, they paid $500,000 for that property. So that's 2 acres. We have 4 acres sitting right here out in front of the church building. Right out here. Yeah, right out here in front of the church building right now. All right? That has nothing on it. So just keep that in mind. We talk about we owe this much, but you know, we're in good financial position as far as equity and so forth. And but we want to, in order to build and go to the next phase, we've got to pay that principal down. And so our goal this next year would be to do that. Now, my prayer as a pastor, as I look with it with the men this coming up week, would be to take the building fund and use the building fund. When you give to the building fund this next year, starting in February, when you give, that all of that money would go to the principal of the loan, over and above the payment. Does that sound good? Was that a neat way to do it, maybe? Right now, the building fund makes the payment. But once the upstairs is complete and that financial obligation is done, the general account, which is the main account where your tithes go, that should be able to handle paying the building payment itself. Okay? Then the building fund monies that come in, when you write on your envelope, building fund, you put $25 a week or $50 a week, that will not go towards the payment. It will not go towards interest. It'll go towards the principle of the loan. And I'm hoping, I pray that that will be a great incentive for you to give towards that and to do that. Me and my wife, at this point, give about $100 a week to the building fund. And I'm not going to tell you what anybody else gives, but I am going to be the example and tell you what I give. All right? And I will tell you that me and my wife will probably increase that when the stewardship conference comes. So I'm not saying you have to give $100 a week, but I am saying get involved. If you saw the crowd this morning, I'm not saying this because this is what I want to build an empire for myself here in the Haslett world. There's a great need here. Amen? And every time our church, Heritage Baptist Church, has had a need presented, they rose to the occasion. I'm asking you to rise to the occasion. Allow God to speak to you about what you would give towards the building fund this year. And again, I just like with missions, I encourage you. It don't have to be a lot. But you think now, we have 100 families now actively involved in our church. That's amazing, folks. Because last year about this time, it was about 66. So now we have 100 active families. And during the scripture conference, I will give you an overall number of how many people are actively involved in giving to the building fund. And I imagine it's going to be about 25 or 26, around that many of those families giving to the building fund on a regular basis. What if it was 100? And what if those other 75 just decided to give a dollar? It makes a difference. So just be in prayer about what you would give. Maybe it's $5 a week. Maybe it's 10. Maybe you do have the ability to give 100 or 2, whatever. And so, again, it's not about equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Some of y'all know that little, it's so amazing. God will lay upon your heart. But that's what God's laid upon my heart. I've talked with Brother Henderson about it. I've talked with Eddie Johnson about it. I've prayed about it. I feel like this is the best direction for our church to go financially as far as the building fund's concerned. There were other opinions put out of other ways to do it. But let's just pack them in 2010 and just pay as much principal down as we possibly can. In 2010. You say, well, then what happens? Then when do we take the next step? That question's been asked to me 100,000 times. I think I finally have an answer for you. You ready for this one? Here's what it is. Here's my opinion of when it would be. My opinion is we will build the next building when borrowing the money to build it will not diminish ministry. We can build the next building whenever the payment for that building will not hamper or diminish the ministries of Heritage Baptist Church. Right? I mean, I think that's where we're at. We've been there, Brother Reed could testify and others could testify to it. We have been in a position at this church before where we live from week to week. What I'm saying is, and ministries were hampered. So what I'm saying is we need to be in a position where they would not be hampered. Where if we needed to buy brochures, they're bought. If we need to buy new move-in cups to minister, they're bought. Master's Club needs this, it's bought. Youth needs this, it's bought. You know, whatever ministries are here, Pass the Pirate, Sunday School, Fall Festival, Vacation Bible School, the ministries we have, which is going to be about $40,000, $50,000 this year, that those would not be hampered by what we're doing. Because that's what we're here for. And if ministries are hampered, then we don't need a building. All right, we go meet out in the field and continue to minister to people and to do for others. Amen. And some of you others may have some opinions on that. Email me. Let me you give me some ideas. I'm totally open to the direction there. And so just rest assured that I believe that's how we'll handle it. We'll get with you during the stewardship conference and encourage you in these areas. It is great to have a great staff here at Heritage Baptist Church. I'm so blessed to have such a great staff right now with Brother Stone and even Brother Brandon and my wife and our Christian school teachers. So I just appreciate them. We're not perfect at all, but I believe we have the best, I know we have the best group of staff that we've ever had. And they're just doing a great job, and I appreciate them. Not that haven't had some great staff in the past, but God's just put some pieces together. And it's amazing to see how He did that. One of the areas of changing staff this year was we were hiring a full-time church secretary, and her name is Sim Stone. Amen. And she actually starts tomorrow. So we're all thankful for that. And my wife has been the general all-around secretary of everything, school, financial, church, and she's been part-time. I mean, she's a 30-hour type deal, but working 50 hours, which I appreciate her. But Sam will be full-time, working in the office Monday through Friday, and so we'll look forward to her being the church secretary, so that'll happen. It'll be a couple-of-week transition as her and my wife work together on getting that put together. So, but she starts in the morning. Amen. Outreach, by the way, that was all approved by the finance team, and I appreciate them very, very much. And it's a need. It's not a want. We need help in the office. And so we look forward to that. Outreach, just again, looking forward to the new year, Vacation Bible School, the Fall Festival, Spring Fling, Soul Winning, all of these outreaches. The youth are going to start a youth teen soul winning, and we'll look forward to that. Just getting to, what a blessing to see that group this morning over there. And so we look forward to further outreach this year. Looking forward to God blessing the Christian school. God's been blessing it. We just mailed out 5,000 flyers, and we continue to push towards the Christian school. A great opportunity for our kids, for your grandkids. Encourage you. If you have kids or grandkids, so look at the school. And God's blessing there. So you pray for the school. And tell people about it. Get the word out. And let them know that we have a school here. I know time is raging on, but let me just, again, in the new year, talking about just the emphasis and things that we're going to be doing, I want to emphasize again leadership in the new year. And I think we have slipped somewhat in the area of leadership. And again, some of these areas are my fault that I don't shore it up enough and encourage you men and ladies enough in the area of leadership. You know, my arms can only reach so long. Right? Right? But if you get, you know, come up here, Brother Summers. I stole this illustration from somebody else. Come here, Brother Pugh, Brother Jason. You know, I can only reach so far, but if I grab Brother Summers' hand, we reach further. If I grab Brother Jason's hand, we reach further, right? And if we add more, we reach further. And that's the help. I didn't mean to hold your hands, but all right. Thank you very much. But you get the idea. And I realize, especially now, and I realize, you know, my limitations, and I realize there are areas in which some of you could do a better job in some areas than I can do. And that, again, I can only reach so far. I want to encourage you, those of you now in leadership position and those of you who will be elected to leadership positions, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or whatever, encourage you to be all you can be for the Lord. Do all you can. Do your best. Be faithful. And we're going to send out a letter this next week, and I don't want you to be offended. I want you to get on board. We're going to send out a letter that basically says you need to re-sign your leadership commitments. And you need to re-sign and re-look. We want leadership to continue to go forward for the Lord. And we need you behind the church. And we know you are. Life gets busy. Right? By the way, you're volunteers. You can't make a volunteer do anything, right? But once you accept a position, there are requirements. And actually, the more responsibility you take on at the church as a layperson, the more is required of you. Right? And I just need your help and support in this area. And this is an area, again, that I need to improve in as far as directing and administrating our leadership and keeping them moving forward. And I want to do a better job in that area. But I need your help to do so. You know, I need Sunday school teachers and workers to be on time for their ministries. I need leaders and workers, if you're required to be at soul winning, to be there. I need, you know, these areas. I need, you know, leaders and workers to be at Men of Valor and Women of Virtue meetings and be that example and be the leadership we need. Amen? All right. Don't we stop preaching on that? Some of y'all have the Cowboy game recorded. You want to go home and watch it. Let me just read you what I wrote down here. With great numbers comes more responsibility. But understand this. With more numbers and more responsibility becomes greater accountability to God. Because with greater numbers, we should be doing more for the Lord. Does that make sense to you? In other words, we should be doing more at 250 than we were at 100. In fact, we have to, or else we'll one day give an account to God for it. Right? So understand that as we organize and reorganize and regroup and refocus and look at ministries and make adjustments from running 150. Do you realize this morning we had 270 in worship service? Last Sunday, on the same Sunday, we had 140. Last year, on the same Sunday, we had 140. Right? So you and I've talked with Brother Henderson about this in depth. You've got to give me some space. You've got to give me, let me make some decisions without you know, me getting a bad email from you. All right? And you can always disagree with the decision. I'm always very open. I promise you, my office door is open. How many of y'all? No, don't raise your hand. A lot of you have been in my office, and once you get in my office, you know, hey, he's approachable. I mean, I am. If you've got an opinion, email me. Come see me. Let me know. But as we move forward, we do have to reorganize in order to run 270. We can't have the same organization that we had at 100 or 150. And so as I learn, I'm learning too. I got over myself. I hopefully got over some of myself. I'm still prideful. Everybody's got pride. But, and I told you the church this a few years ago. 270 is fine. Whatever the Lord wants. I mean that. But if He gives us 270, my job is to organize for it. And I'm going to give an account if I don't do everything decently in order, the way the Bible says. He wants everything done decently in order. Okay, I know I've just beat that horse in the ground already, haven't I? Just please be, I don't know what the word I'm trying to use there, but be understanding of the changes that need to take place. And I'm going to mess up. How many of y'all testify to that? Some of y'all have been around here 9 or 10 years. Okay, thank you, Miss Linda. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else want to testify? Thank you, Brother Adam. I see that hand. And I appreciate many of you who've been around a while who have seen me make the mistakes and have just stayed by the stuff. And as we make mistakes, then we'll adjust to those mistakes. And let's pray y'all pray for me as I seek wisdom from the Lord as well as from men that I seek counsel with about how to handle the growth and how to handle the next building phase and how to do these things, and because these are areas that I haven't crossed before. But we'll cross them together, amen? Amen. Amen. Believe me, if y'all hadn't allowed me to make mistakes, y'all would have kicked me out a long time ago. Lastly, and the most just encouraging in my heart this year, is the church plant that we're going to be doing in South Fort Worth. That first service will be the first Sunday in May. And we will emphasize it with you and let you and keep you informed as to what's going to happen. So the first Sunday in May, we're going to have our Get Acquainted meetings down there in South Fort Worth. And Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, our services will be down there. And then Thursday night as well. So we're going to really emphasize. I think it's going to be something that will blow you away. I believe that. I believe you're going to go and you're going to be blown away. Some of you who went to Caleb Shipman's church and helped us that Sunday, you were blown away, weren't you? About what God can do. I believe you will just be amazed at what God can do down that area. And God's going to use you. And God's going to use me to do it. Amen. Might even use Jason. So the hope for America. Hope for America is not in any person. Hope in America is God. Hope in America is not any person, but it's in the Lord and His Word. Hope in America is not any person. Hope in America is the Lord and His Word and His church. The hope for America is to establish good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist churches that are on fire for the Lord. That's the hope for America. The hope for families in America is for families to be in a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church that still preaches the Word of God. whose primary interest is not to entertain, but to give out the Word of God, preach it as it is, lovingly and kindly, but preaching just as what the Bible says. I'm telling you tonight, if you go to a church and your toes don't get stepped on at least once a month, you're not in a church. Man, you've showed up at a pep rally. You have. And a pastor or preacher who get up and say, I don't preach against sin and I don't want to make anybody feel bad, and so therefore I won't preach. He's not preaching the Word of God. He's not a preacher. He's a motivational speaker. We need more preachers like Brother Jason to go down to South Fort Worth and plant a good, independent Fundamental Baptist Church who upholds the Word of God and preaches the book from cover to cover. Amen? We need that. Again, preaching the truth in love. And I think there's been some problem with that in the past. And again, you can disagree without being disagreeable as we confront and as we minister to people. But we need to preach the Word of God. Amen. So we look forward to that church plant, Brother Jason. He's so frustrated now. We got him, you know, grouting, and we got him carrying tile. We've got him washing out toilets. We've got him. We're trying to keep him humble, brother. Amen? It's working. But just within the matter of the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we'll hopefully find the storefront down there and get it leased. And then some of us men go down there and begin to put up a wall or two and just begin to work towards that first meeting. That's going to be exciting. And then we're going to turn around in 2 or 3 more years and do it again somewhere else. Brother Stone keeps saying Dallas. He wants to plant a church in Dallas. We'll send him. But it's definitely a burden I've had for years, and most of you have expressed that same opinion. We need to plant more churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And if we have a man come along who wants to plant one in Washington, we'll help him too. Amen? Amen. The Lord's good. Hope in God, not in man. And let's do everything we can this year to keep our eyes up and don't get down. Don't get under your circumstances. Stand on top of those things, right? Don't allow them to get you down. And put your faith and trust in the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with our church this next year. And just pray and support us. And pray for God that He would give wisdom to the leadership of the church. And again, my office is always open. I encourage you to come see me. Or email me. Or text me. Don't Facebook me. I look there about once a month. But encourage in that area. I love you guys. I love pastoring this church. And I will tell you that it's different now. And I want you to pray for me that all the changes and the size of things I'm trying to... I don't want to become a CEO. I don't. That's not what I was called to do. If I ever get to that position, I'm going to get up and tell you, I'm not a CEO anymore, and we're going to put it on somebody else. I want to preach. I appreciate Brother Stone because he sees that. And I want to be able to study more this year. I want to be able to improve in those areas, as I want to every year. 35 years old, I haven't arrived yet. And I appreciate Brother Henderson has been such a blessing to me, folks. You would not believe. I love going over there, spend a couple hours with him every other week, asking him about preaching and how to preach and those areas. And that's where I want to improve. And I want you to pray for me. And I've asked you that several times over the last 10 years. And I mean it again. Pray for me. And let's all work together for the cause of Christ. One direction. Marching together to fulfill the Great Commission. And being wise stewards of the resources God has given us. All right? Let's all stand. I'm going to have an invitation. Every time I don't have one, something happens that should have happened. And I know the message was actually about 20 minutes ago, but our hope is in God. Maybe tonight you are discouraged. Maybe tonight you are distressed. Whatever it is, let me tell you, your hope is in the Lord. Won't you come down and just lay that distress, that discouragement at His feet. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love and grace and mercy. We thank You that we can trust You and put our hope in You. Lord, I praise and thank You for what You're going to do for us and our church this coming year. In Jesus' name.